Hi, Brent. Did you have FM radio growing up in Winkler, Manitoba?
I did, buddy. I lived close to Winnipeg. You guys have kept me on hold for 5 minutes while I had to listen to you two mud fences talk about Love Inc. I was about to hang up, to be honest with you.
You're an American Hockey League star.
Such moron.
We need to grow a set of stones here.
Well, he sounds like my career, minus the two Stanley Cups.
Tire fires, gas cans, the list goes on for you two idiots. But you know what? I do have fun when I do get on. So I have a bunch of other names for you guys, too, that obviously doesn't make it to air.
Did any of the current and former NHLers know who you were? Or are they just like, who's this guy that they got off the street to play goal?
Everybody knew who I was.
How could you forget a first-round bust?
Exactly.
That was high-level drive-by stuff right there. I give you credit for that.
Yeah.
Now, what is it with you and Will Nault?
Oh, it just, he sucks.
There it is.
You know,
fair enough.
Like, yeah. Just, it's simple.
Yeah. Oh, how long have you been holding on to that one? That's breaking me down into the fetal position right now.
And that is your NHL
goaltending analyst. Yeah.
With you two slugs, I'll tell you what, it's just nice to be able to feel important carrying the show for 20 minutes. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, you carried us both on your back. Good stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Bye, Kron.
Suck it, Will.
Every time I hear that last part.
Yeah, it's so appropriate, isn't it?
It really is. The relationship between you two really can't be explained. Welcome back to the program. Brent Kron's with us, our NHL goaltending analyst. Hey, the Flames are on to round number one. They did so by beating the Jets yesterday. What'd you think?
Did you see that coming? Because I certainly didn't. Even though the Jets were down two of their top players, the Jets always seem to make things very difficult on themselves. And a lot was being said about the matchup and goal between Hellebuck and Talbot. And I thought, like most probably everybody else, thought that Hellebuck would outplay Talbot just simply because the track record speaks for itself. But one thing that I was just blown away by is just the confidence of Cam Talbot. He looked so comfortable. He looked comfortable in that exhibition game. You know, that first goal against the Oilers in that exhibition game, he makes a great save right off the bat and loses his net a bit. And really, other than that, that's the only thing you can kind of come after him for. He's been in control. He's had good communication with his D-man. It's, even his rebounds have been great. And it just, everything for him has looked real smooth and real easy. And you know, the Jets did Hellebuck to be their best player with Scheifele and Laine out of the lineup, and he was not. He made players with puck behind the net. He let in some goals that a goalie like him could stop, even though it's a good, you got to give credit to the players that shot the puck or got in his way for a screen. They still needed more out of Hellebuck, and he just couldn't deliver. And Talbot didn't make a mistake, and that was the big thing. Talbot couldn't afford to make the mistake, and momentum swings, and you know, in hockey, I guess. I was going to say this time of year, but it's not common. But he didn't make a mistake, and I was really impressed.
What about his game? Like, you just talked about how calm he looked and how confident he looked. So how does that manifest itself on the ice? When a guy is confident, how does it play itself out?
Well, Cam Talbot whether he's having a strong game or a poor game, you can't really see his emotions too much on the ice. But when he's struggling, he's very deep in his net. He's down early. He's cheating on plays. And he loses his net pretty quick. This whole series, he was patient. He outweighed the shooters. He read the play well. He fought through traffic, and I guess I shouldn't be shocked, but I was just blown away at how strong he performed. He didn't give anybody any excuses to you know, basically say, hey, no, we needed a save from our goaltender tonight. He was there every time they needed something from him. You know, they lost that second game 3-2, that third goal. I mean, a deflection from the point, not much you could do there. And he didn't really dwell on the loss. He just kept going. He kept pushing forward, even in the win last night. Shutout. He makes 31 saves, I believe. And a lot of them were key times. And, you know, he made some good saves, but he didn't let in bad goals. And that's the thing. It's like, you it's not how many saves you make, it's when you make your saves. And if you can make things, if you don't make mistakes, bad goals don't go in. It doesn't deflate a team. If a team scores in the power play or they score a great goal 2-on-1, yeah, it sucks. But at the end of the day, there's not a whole lot that could have been done. There's breakdowns in front, whatever. But if you're letting bad goals, like you look at a guy like Bobrovsky today, I thought he made some tremendous saves today against the Islanders, but that first goal was atrocious, and it set them behind right from the start. Even Mike Smith, the first game against the Blackhawks this year, the Oilers were in a 1-0 lead against the Blackhawks. They were in command. He makes a mistake behind the net. It's 1-1. The Blackhawks have momentum. Cam Talbot didn't make any of those blunders, and the Flames were in the driver's seat from start to finish, and the players could trust their goaltender.
Tell me about Connor Hellebuyck. Not so much, you know, what you observed, because I think we all observe the same things, but why do you think his level did... It's not like he was bad, but he wasn't this all-world making stops he shouldn't be making type goaltender. What was the reason for you?
You know, like all season long, you know, the law was made of the Jets' blue line, how many players or how many defensemen they lost this season. A lot of focus was on net, how basically he was going to have to be their savior, and he was. And he was able to get into a rhythm, and he was able to get into a routine. And for whatever reason, the Flames didn't really care about what Connor Hellebuyck needed. They got in his face. They got in front of him. You guys were chirping him. Guys were getting in his way. They were getting... You can't stop what you can't see. And, you know, you have big bodies like Lucic in front of him that are just kind of making things a bit tough on him. And I honestly, though, I think what it comes down to is Connor Hellebuyck trying to do too much. He's best when he keeps his game simple. He's not an overly great puck player, but you can keep it simple. You can stop it, set it, and get out of the way. I just feel the whole time, because they were a bit behind the eight ball, they were missing... you know, their top two players, he's trying to do too much. And I think he put a tremendous amount of pressure on himself, as a number one goaltender should. And he's been more than capable of being able to carry the load. But I think he didn't give himself a break. He put too much pressure on himself. He was trying too hard. He didn't let a lot of things come to him. He was trying to force the issue on a lot of things. And Cam Talbot just kind of went about his business. So I think at the end of the day, Hellebuyck just, you know, he tried to do too much.
Brent Cron is with us, our NHL goaltending analyst. I'm curious, put yourself in the shoes of David Rittich. How do you, you know, like, he's under contract for next year, and I still believe is part of the plans for the Flames. So what's important for him, knowing that ideally, if you're Calgary, if you want to go on a long run, you don't want to have another goaltender play? Like, the best case scenario now for the Flames is that Talbot starts every game from here until they're done, right? So what's key for how Rittich handles himself during this?
Well, first of all, I'd be frustrated if I was him, because Rittich is supposed to be the goaltender of the future for the Calgary Flames. He's had two, you know, he started the season for the past two seasons really well. He's come out and he's been great. He's been arguably one of the Flames' best players. He's made big saves. He's been the guy that they thought he could be. But once they kind of dip in after the All-Star break, he kind of loses momentum a little bit. And being able to play, you know, a full 82-game schedule and being able to compete at that high level is really difficult and something to learn. And having said that, I thought they were going to start Rittich these playoffs simply because it's more of a tournament-style playoff, and I thought he'd be really good at it for a short period of time. You could throw him in the net, and he could really compete, and it'd be kind of be in his wheelhouse. But he's got to remember, though, too, it's only like, this is four games. It's a five-game series. It's not really even playoffs. It's a play-in, something we haven't seen before. And the Flames have always needed two goaltenders throughout the year, even when it was, you know, Mike Smith last season and David Rittich. And prior to that, you know, Brian Elliott and Corey Ramo and whoever else. I mean, they've always had 1A, 1B guys. And you know, I'd like to say that Cam Talbot can sustain his level of play, but the playoffs start next week. That's, yes, you're happy to be in. You know, people say that the Flames want a playoff round. Yeah, that's great, but it's a play-in round. It's something that we haven't seen before. And the seven-game series, they start, and they're going to need both guys. I firmly believe they're going to need both guys. And Rittich's got to remind himself that it's tough to watch from the bench. I know he's a competitor. He's a fiery guy. He wants to be in the net. But you never know when your opportunity is going to come. And he's going to have a chance to prove himself in this playoff for sure. And he just got to keep himself ready. He's got to be the best practice player out there. He's got to be a good team guy. He's got to work hard. He's got to be alert on the bench and ready to play. He can't pout. And I know you know, his emotions as positive as they can be when they're winning can be equally as negative. And you know, he's just he just got to do a good job of just being a good teammate and smiling and being happy, even though he's not happy. He can still do a lot for this team because his passion is infectious. And he just got to remember what he means to this Calgary Flames club.
Your impressions of who the Columbus Blue Jackets are going with in net today. Looks like they're going to go with Merzlikins with an opportunity to eliminate the Toronto Maple Leafs. Your thought on that?
Well, it's two goalies with great names. Very fun to say. I was hoping Merzlikins would get in there just so I could say Merzlikins on the radio today, because it's even his first name is almost better than his last name. You know, Korpisalo played a hell of a game the first game. You can really see the tendencies that he's learned, that he's picked up from Sergei Bobrovsky playing behind him, the way he moves laterally and even just how he holds his glove or how he stands in the net. But they've also had to do it by committee as well. And Korpisalo earned them the win the first game. Second game, you know, I thought he still played pretty solid. You know, last night that the Leafs are up and they pulled the goaltender and boom, it's now 4-3 for Columbus. So both goaltenders can do a job. That whole team on the Columbus Blue Jackets is just full of blue collar, hardworking players. And that's how Tortorella coaches. He tries to get blood from a stone. And he's got two guys that are both netminders. Korpisalo and Merzlikins are kind of unproven netminders in the National Hockey League, both full of tremendous amount of skill, but are not proven NHL number one guys. And so, Korpisalo falters. They don't have any issue putting Merzlikins in. I'm sure he'll be ready and fired up and ready to go, and he'll play a great game tonight, and we'll see where it goes. I think they should start Merzlikins. They really do, because they don't really have much to lose. They're an underdog once again. Get your guys some playoff experience. They had to fill some holes this season with a bunch of players leaving, and they got two goaltenders right now that are both NHL guys and looking for one to kind of take the net over, so why not give them a chance?
Did you agree? It didn't end up working out. The Penguins get eliminated by Montreal in this series. Did you agree with the decision to go with Tristan Jarry in game four today?
I thought Tristan Jarry should have started from the start. I think they went with Matt Murray simply because obviously his track record, he's won two Stanley Cups with the Pittsburgh Penguins and knows what it's like to be in pressure, you know, filled situations. However, Tristan Jarry, I felt, was a better goaltender this season. Matt Murray has battled injuries and consistency since he's come into the league. And just overall, I mean, Tristan Jarry did what he could today. They lost the game. And Pittsburgh, for all that firepower, couldn't get a goal past Carey Price. And he only gave up one. And they ended up losing the game. So it was, my opinion, I thought they should have gone with him from the start. I was very surprised to see Matt Murray starting the series. And I mean, now it kind of raises a few questions as to kind of what they're going to do moving forward, because Matt Murray hasn't been the guy. He's been good, but not good enough. He's kind of a 1A, 1B guy, almost like a James Reimer type. And guys can get hot at the right situation and create quite the careers for themselves where they're known as playoff performers, or guys can get hot for short periods of time. But I think Tristan Jarry is going to be a hell of a goaltender in the National Hockey League. And I was kind of disappointed the Pittsburgh Penguins went with Matt Murray to start.
And finally, the Oilers are down 2-1 after 20 minutes of play. What if you're, we don't know how this game's going to go. Maybe the Oilers come back and win, who knows. But what have your impressions been of Mikko Koskinen so far in this series? Has he been good enough for Edmonton?
I don't know. He hasn't been good enough. You know, he really hasn't. He looked really solid in the exhibition game against the Flames, and so did Mike Smith. And people were kind of shocked they went with Smith at the start. And there's a relationship there between Dave Tippett and Mike Smith where they've gone back to the Dallas Stars days, to the Phoenix Coyotes days. And there's a bit of a history where Dave Tippett trusts Mike Smith. And Koskinen obviously looked better. I believe he was skating during this whole pandemic too in Finland, where he was able to get some ice and kind of stay sharp. But he, you know, a lot of goals have gone in on him through traffic, through a lot of stuff going on in front of him, or close in goals. But you know, at the end of the day, you have to make saves, and he's a big body. I think he's 6'6" minimum, maybe even 6'7". He's a big guy, and sometimes it just kind of surprises me that the goals that do go in on him, and they're not through his body, but they're, you know, he's not blocking maybe as much as he could, or not utilizing the size of his frame to block that puck. And right now, both goaltenders have kind of let them down. You know, Mike Smith, like I said, the Oilers were up 1-0 in game one, and everything was looking good, and they were putting the pressure on. And he makes a mistake behind the net, gives the puck up, and all of a sudden, boom, it's 1-1, and you know, the game kind of gets away from the Oilers. So, you know, maybe it's tough to say. Both guys need to be better. I'm shocked that they started Koskinen tonight. I really am. I thought Tippett would go back to Smith. But, you know, that's the coach's decision. But none of them has been good enough to say, hey, he's a clear-cut number one guy, or, hey, he should be in net.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, it's a crapshoot, and if I was backing up, I'd be buying 50-50s all night long.
Get out of here, Croner. Have a good weekend, my man. We'll talk soon.
Can't wait. Have a good weekend, pal.